Pussy probation. You know what that
What?
is?
No, and do I kind of want to be on it, but I also don't want to be on it.
Pussy
So
probation is when your girl, when you're in a marital relationship and she tells you, I'm not fucking you
oh, I don't
for
want to be in that. Okay, no.
whatever reason.
Oh, it's a bad thing.
Is that a signifier of the end has come? Is that Armageddon?
Well, isn't it probation? Isn't it like you're at risk of not getting it?
Yeah, but intimacy, if that's a tool being played on a game of chess, the queen is already in spot and the king is the one dangling, right? Like everybody knows it's that the real killer is not far behind.
Yeah, it's definitely not good news.
It's check.
Yeah.
It's not checkmate.
But it's there. It's getting there. It's
It's
that.
checkmate,
Yeah.
right? It's hey, mate.
Yeah, I would say so.
I don't
Yeah,
know.
I mean.
Like, imagine, can a husband do that? Can a husband be like, oh, by the way, I'm not paying your lease on your car?
No, I don't think we could put a female into that type of probation either. Because at which point they're like, oh, I'm going somewhere else.
Oh, dude, if you come home not hungry, are you fucking somebody? Where'd you have dinner? You know?
It's true.
Strange times, my friend. Strange times we're living in.
The Social Nuisance Podcast.
Oh, shit. Okay, bitches, you guys are gonna be mind blown.
Oh, we're going to town.
Downtown.
We're going to town.
Down.
They're podcasting.
We're podcasting right now.
Social Nuisance.
Social Nuisance Podcast. How you guys doing?
Welcome to Pound Town. Yeah, awesome.
Hello and welcome to the Social Nuisance Podcast, your weekly discussion of all things current requiring further insight, opinions, questions, and otherwise kick in your face perspectives towards the betterment of humanity. What is
Yeah, I don't know. Dude, we're 100 and some noises in. How many? I mean, to be fair, I started at like 20, but I'm fucking. I do again. No strike broken. That's happening. That's not normal. Look up. I don't know, dude.
Subscribe and leave a 5-star
I was
review
trying to go
on
pew pew, but something else came out. Sorry.
or wherever you're listening to help Poundtown grow. Get in on the conversations by liking our Facebook page and following us on Instagram at Social Nuisance Podcast. And if you really want to support all that we do, drop a dollar in our Venmo at Social Nuisance. My name is Imagine, and joining me as always, the original gangsta,
Yeah,
Motion. How you doing?
look up. I don't know. Sorry. What do OGs do anymore? Like, I don't. They used to get braids on porches and kill people. What do like? I like. So I have kids that grew up in like when I was already an older teenager in Ontario,
Yeah.
and they were like elementary school, middle school. So my brother's 10 years younger than me. So like, they consider me an OG, and all I do is like chores. So what do OGs do now, our age?
I don't know. I want to know what's the threshold to become an OG because I feel like now that all my bones are cracking when I stand up,
Yeah,
I feel
that's
like
it. You
I'm
made
coming
it.
up. Okay, that's it.
Maybe that's the OG. They just click when they walk.
I think that's kind of where I, it was kind of funny this whole aging thing. You know, me and Daisy were laughing earlier how she was like, "Hey, do you have like a gel ballpoint pen? Because it's my favorite kind of pen, and this pen is about to run out." And I was like, "No, I don't." But I also have a favorite pen. It's a
Yeah.
red pen, but it's also starting to run out. And I was like, "Oh my God, are we gonna like sit down and go through Amazon and order ballpoint gel pens?" And damn. Is that where our relationship is now?
It's just
Holy
like
shit, this is great.
wop wop wet ass pussy.
Yeah. So maybe that's what OGs do. They shop for ballpoint pens together.
Pens wouldn't be a problem because my probation officer over here collects them. There's 1,000 pens in my house from every hotel between here and Reno.
Nice. That's quite the collection. People have shot glasses, you have pens.
Yeah. Oh, shot glasses. My friend collects those. We tried doing magnets for a while, but the kids break them because we buy the nice ceramic ones. And then
Yeah.
when they open the fridge, they're like, oh, it's fucking empty. And they slam it and shit falls off.
you're going to get a shot glass or a pen, I suppose you could do it in New York, seeing how there's so much vacancy.
Oh,
Apparently,
dude.
there's an ongoing not a Twitter war, but there's an ongoing war of words.
Yeah, between the media.
In regards to whether or not New York is quote unquote dead.
D-E-D. Yeah, so one of the guys that I listen to a lot about financial advice, James Altucher. He's this cute little squeak out of New York that plays the stock market and shit.
Cool.
And he was big on that the unemployment was so grand and most of these people are keeping it cash that we won't suffer from economic failure after COVID because there's so much cash out there. And if you invest in things, when these people go to spend the cash finally, whatever you invest in, if you invest it properly, it's going to go through the roof.
Okay.
Now, that was his advice, May.
Okay.
Since then,
we are not the same people we were in May. No,
neither is James Altucher. Since then, he's down, moved to Florida. Not down, moved. He moved to Florida. He owns the New York Comedy Club, American Comedy Club, one of the comedy clubs in New York.
Okay.
I've spoke about him before on a podcast because he was the guy that had $15,000, then zero, then $1.5 million, then zero, then $15 million in his bank account. So I don't know if you remember me saying that, but I talked about that back in May. When I first heard his anyways, he's moved to Florida since, and he's the one who wrote the op-ed that New York was dead that Jerry Seinfeld responded to.
Yeah, so for those who are not aware, there was a column in the New York Post, and the column was exclaiming the death of New York in big, bold letters. Like, everyone is leaving New York. Apartment vacancies are an all-time high. Deficits are all-time high. The city's drowning in $9 billion of red ink. More companies are leaving New York, like Citibank, JP Morgan, Google, hundreds of other large companies, because they're going remote and they have no need for office space in New York City. Thousands of restaurants have shuttered their doors permanently, and Yelp has said up to 50% of restaurants in New York City have gone out of business.
That is nationwide. And I hate to break it to James Altucher, New York City was in fact a place I double checked during the Depression, and they survived. And yeah. We have not yet hit economic depression. We've hit, you know, relatively close, and there is still a ton of stimulus out there, and we got a lot to motivate people with the election coming up.
Sure.
But for anyone to say that we're, you know, suffering worse than we ever have, that's outrageous.
I can totally understand where he's coming from as far as, like, it feels different where, you know, the remote working aspect of it and loss of revenue and stuff like that. It definitely feels a little bit different, but that's because it's something that we have never experienced in our lifetimes. So there's nothing to compare it to. So, of course, it feels like doomsday. But one thing that, you know, Jerry Seinfeld put so articulately in his op-ed in the New York Times is the resilience of people for their culture. And although I've never been to New York City, I'm very much aware that New York City has its own DNA.
They do.
If you're a New Yorker, you have your own DNA. In the same way of you, like myself, born and bred Los Angeles, it's just in your DNA. You walk different. You talk different. And regardless of what the economy is like in New York City, New York City will never die.
Absolutely. And you know what? Even though they're still Americans, hey, Yankees, you're still enemies to me, man. absolutely, dude. And, you know, it was cute for the two of them to write opposing pieces in the New York Post that one's in Florida and the other one is not in New York City. Though he's, like, you know, bred and raised out of New York City and that's where he made his money. That motherfucker lives in – what's that fancy area north of New York that starts with the H? I keep wanting to say Hamilton's, but it's not that. What is it called?
Hamptons.
Hamptons, thanks. That's where Jerry Seinfeld wrote his part of the perspective from. Meanwhile, there's millions of New Yorkers in the middle trying to figure fucking life out, dude.
Yeah.
How about you rich fucks quit fucking with the economy through your opinions? You know what I mean? If you're not going to go drop money or withdraw money, why don't you shut the fuck up and let New York do its thing?
Yeah, and that's exactly what's going to happen with it. New York is totally going to do its thing. And again, I think because New York City has its own DNA – something like that, you just can't kill. I mean, like, New York City is an idea. You can't kill ideas. Well, ideas will just continue to go on and move forward.
Absolutely. And we got this idea that cities aren't natural. They're as natural as honeycombs. Honeycombs don't grow either. The bees come together and build them. Cities are fucking natural. That's why they're everywhere. People come together and they build honeycombs. You're not going to take away from that. especially from your fucking 17th floor suite in Tampa Bay, where Derek's serving you unlimited shrimp and margaritas.
Yeah.
Margaritas aren't natural, bro. That's not natural. Cities are.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. And I think that speaks to the resilience of people when they want to make a difference where they live, where they're from, whatever history they may have. And I think that's definitely applicable to this new legislation that was just passed in regards to firefighting inmates.
Are they working? They're working? They're passing legislation? I thought these motherfuckers went home for the decade.
No, they've actually passed a bill. So not too long ago, I read an article this past Monday. So AB 2147 will allow nonviolent offenders who have logged time in fire camps while incarcerated an opportunity to have their records expunged upon release, allowing them to become real firefighters.
I feel both good and bad about that. One, I would like to first of all establish my commonality. I this hits really close to home for me because I've been an inmate and I also once burned myself. So in that sense,
that pick lighter was not.
Yeah, I didn't. They have electric stoves in Arkansas, and I didn't get it till I put my hand on it. But anyways, so I don't know, like, because nonviolent is a lot. Well, it's also not a lot of things. As we talk this through, there's going to be ideas that come to mind. For instance, to me, theft is nonviolent, sure. But they hit you with burglary, and burglary is violent. So burglary is entering an establishment or private property with the intent to commit a crime.
Right.
So if you walk into a place and run theft, because, like, to me, a thief isn't violent, but yeah, if you grab a chain off someone's neck, that's violent, right? That person's traumatized.
Sure.
And I don't know that, because don't forget, firefighters aren't just firefighters, they're paramedics. Yeah. And they're constantly in private homes and constantly interacting with the public.
Right.
I think this might be a way to keep nonviolent offenders incarcerated. Is that crazy?
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you get a chance to be a firefighter. But it's like, also, I shouldn't be in prison if I'm nonviolent. I believe that prisons are built for violent people. We need to lock up the people that can hurt us, not the people that fuck up, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. But seeing how that we're in this situation that we're in, having an opportunity and a pathway,
absolutely,
for the inmates, is I think definitely progress. You a lot of the times you get in and you're hit with that felony record, and you know with every job application you have you ever been convicted of a felony? You get to hit yes, automatically the dynamic changes for you.
Yeah.
Whereas you know you're not really afforded a second chance or a second opportunity to rebuild your life. But if you are out there on the front lines, especially fighting a fire of all things.
Absolutely. Or in California, wildfires.
Yeah, you're protecting the community, you're protecting property, I feel like you're definitely repaying your debt to society.
Yes.
And previously, this was only afforded to inmates that exhibited good behavior.
You don't get in fire camp without good behavior. So that's going to be...
Yeah,
that would be parallel.
Yeah, and these crews were only paid between $2 and $5 a day, plus $1 per hour while fighting an actual fire. So it just seems I don't like the idea of slave labor while incarcerated. Yes. But what's most important is once you get out, how you got in, what you do while you're there, different conversations. But this particular piece is about what happens when you get out. And providing a pathway and an opportunity for someone to rebuild their dignity by continuing to serve the community, I'm all behind that for sure.
Absolutely. And remember that when they utilize CAL FIRE, which is what this is called, the inmates, there's severe risk assessment established by people that want nothing to do with failure.
Yeah.
So they're not fighting house fires, not the shit down at the park. They're fighting the 2,000 acres, 0% control fires. You know what I mean? If they're going to release inmates to fight fires, it's going to be fucking real. So these guys are not, you know, this is not your run-of-the-mill shit, your Christmas tree fire. This is like, people are going to die, send them first.
Yeah, they're the first ones usually on the ground at these types of fires, providing prepared fire lines.
Trench digging, you know, hiking, all that. But also, aren't we as a civilization and a society, we're at this point with cancel culture where we're deciding like, we need to offer a roadmap to recovery. This is it.
Yeah.
This is blatantly, if you're nonviolent, you fucked up and you did prison time, we got you a way to do not only that, but like it would suck to do fire camp, become good at it, do 2 years helping fight fires. And then when you get out, you acquire that skill, but there's no way you'd be accepted as a municipal worker. So yeah. Now you got to grill hamburgers, even though you spent 2 years doing, you know, fucking terrible, painful, hard, dangerous work. No, now it's like, you know, maybe your reward is you get to put out a Christmas tree once a year.
I mean, definitely a good way of putting it. And if I was able to, I would definitely rate these firefighters 5 stars.
Yes.
5 stars all across. And if you wanted to do that, you wouldn't be able to. But if you wanted to rate a police officer, you can do that. There's an app for that.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. So,
yeah, but what do you get to do with the rating? Like, he's still going to beat your ass and tase you.
So I was doing some research on this. I was watching a news program, and someone mentioned that there was no way to rate the police the same way you were able to rate someone on Yelp or TripAdvisor.
Okay.
I was like, really? That can't be a thing. There's got to be like someone had that $1 million idea of fucking rating Officer Austin for being a dick.
Yeah.
And turns out there was. RateMyCop.com debuted in 2011, but it was taken down by 2015 over pushback from the police after alleged posting of names and addresses of the police. Oh, but
that's dangerous.
There was a new app developed in 2016 called Excuse Me Officer, where you can rate your department as a whole. Currently, there are no Los Angeles department reviews for the sheriffs or the LAPD.
I mean, it would be so easy to fuck with that curve, right? Like, you just have cops go on. And probably all the ratings are going to be cops' wives because, you know, wives hate cops.
Well, I mean, you could the same could be said for any type of rating system like Yelp, TripAdvisor. I mean, that's why all the restaurants are like, give us a good review on Yelp and we'll give you a free cookie.
Yeah. You know?
Stuff but like that. You can always bend the curve.
Your interaction is like less universally fucked with. Like cops, like, oh, and check this out. Inmates now are getting cell phones and tablets. Wouldn't you just spend all days, 23 hours locked up with your feet kicked up, adding another bad fake review? I got nothing to do, bro. Another bad fake review.
I mean, you see the same thing when you see like businesses that take a side or do something stupid. And you get cancel culture unleashed on you, and you have immediately like thousands upon thousands of reviews from strangers who have never visited your location or business, and they're just giving it 1 stars across the board. But I'm not talking about the technicality of being.
Yeah, no, I get, yeah.
But the opportunity to rate your municipality from a community member standpoint.
Did you ever check out that Rate My Professor?
Yeah, same exact thing. You have a bunch of students who are rating the professor. It's all subjective. You know, no one's saying, you know, his course was, you know, difficult or something like that. They're talking about, yeah. Oh, he's a hard grader or he's really easy or whatever you could think of. It's all subjective. But I think there's definite value in the community identifying a trend with a particular officer.
Ooh, here's a fun game. If you were a professor – give me 3 Rate My Professors that you would have received. Your best one, your middle one, and your worst one. That's fun.
Oh, that's good. Okay.
Let's do it. Your best one, your best review, what would it say? Your medium, and then your worst.
My best review on Rate My Professor, if I was the professor, would say that I am super passionate and engaging and gives high fives upon the exit of class. I don't know.
Dope. That's dope.
Solid. Daisy, don't laugh at me. That's solid. Whatever, man. Medium review is he was cool, but the class could be hard.
All right.
And then the worst review is he called me out for being on my cell phone and answered my phone call in the middle of class and said, stop fucking calling here or I'm going to find you and slit your neck or something like that. I don't know.
Something like that.
Or like, I'm gonna find your mom and fuck her or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Something really outrageous and unnecessary and probably get me fired the same day.
Uh-huh.
But something they're along not the allowed lines to, of being an asshole. Yeah.
My best review would be that he was like refreshing, right? Because I try to be different. Good.
Nice.
My medium review would be He often forgets what the fuck he was talking about, like I just almost did. Yeah. And then my worst review would be like, he banged my chick or something. Something obviously me. Like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
something not professor related.
Called my mom a MILF and hit her up on Instagram. You know?
See, I was thinking of something like that, but instead I got slit.
That's because your wife's in the same room as you. Daisy, put on sunglasses. Don't move.
Couldn't think of anything. I was trying to think of something like, oh, like sexy professor or something. You know?
You know what I fuck up when I ask you these things? I ask you these things like to give me the time to think about them, but then I just get so in tune with you talking. And then you go, your turn, and I'm like, ah! Like, I had as much time as you to think about it. So, but that was fun. That was a fun game.
That was nice. If we were professors, which we totally could be, especially at community college.
Yeah, imagine if we co-taught a class.
Oh, man, nothing good would come from that class.
Dude, why isn't there a podcast development class at Mount SAC taught by us who met at Mount SAC and developed this great podcast? That needs to be a thing. Make it happen. I mean, not you. I meant in general.
I probably could.
And then our 6 reviews are the 2, 2, 2 because they listen to the podcast. Be like, touche, Rebecca and Veronica. Touche.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Very original for you to say our words. Very original.
Well, if you wanted to rate a police officer, you could totally do it on Excuse Me, Officer. It is an app. It doesn't seem like it's widely used. But in case you wanted to use it, let me provide you a springboard for the LAPD. I'm not sure if you've seen this story going around, but just recently, two Los Feliz police officers. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
There were neighbors in Los Feliz who came across a situation where a man, clearly intoxicated, was driving his badass Dodge Charger. And he crashed into a number of parked vehicles. Neighbors were concerned. Cops were called. Cops showed up and they started looking at the damage. And the guy was like, fuck y'all. I'm leaving. I'm walking home. And the cops were like, all right, that's cool. We'll finish up here. And they let him go.
Yeah. And they were talking about, like, we're going to give you guys referrals for property damage complaints.
Yeah.
And who's going to pick up the Charger?
I don't know. Great.
I mean, but that's the top of the concern. It just seemed like their lack of involvement meant that there was still going to be a mess to clean up.
I don't know what the hell they were thinking, but I mean, clearly this was a Caucasian male.
I was going to say, do you think that had something to do with it?
Oh, absolutely. How can it not?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I say that only because there have been too many examples of minorities getting the book thrown at them for way smaller charges.
And I don't want to hear the defense of like, well, it was during COVID, because George Floyd was during COVID as well.
This is one of those stories where it's just inexcusable. I can't find
any.
This guy was clearly drunk, caught red-handed, and was allowed to leave the scene of the crime by the LAPD. They provided no breathalyzer, no field sobriety test, and decided not to keep this man accountable for the community. He could have killed somebody, but because he didn't, it's not that bad.
I have a feeling that he'll still be accountable. I just think they're trying to do less during initial intake. But here's the thing. I don't know that they really let him go. In the video, he clearly disrespects him and walks away. And then the video continues with him being stuck at the intersection, not even able to cross the street. Broad daylight, not late.
Right.
So I don't know how much of it was like the cops was like, we're not allowed to chase people. Or, you know, that they did in fact release. I mean, he's going to get caught up with at some point. Like, oh, I don't.
No doubt. But have to look at the perception.
But that's the time that he's dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I just said, like, prisons are built for dangerous people. When Martha Stewart went to jail, I thought that was so stupid. Like, okay, she did some white collar crime. I get that, but she's not dangerous. We build the block walls for the dangerous people, you know?
Yeah.
And that guy was clearly dangerous. He's fucking lucky he didn't kill someone.
Yeah, I just can't understand why the police would not take him in. And I guarantee you, given recent examples, if this man's skin tone was anything other than white, that guy would have been apprehended immediately.
Yeah, can we please universally agree that a white man in a wife beater is bad news?
Just overall?
Yeah, if you see a white dude in a wife beater, it's worse than whatever you think about black or brown skin.
Well, I gotta say, if any man is dressed in an article of clothing called a wife beater, they're probably bad news.
Yeah, but like Latinos do it with stilo. Like you can wear a Dickies and a black Dickies belt. You can wear brown Dickies, a black wife beater with some Chucks. You pull it off. But a black dude could be getting his braids done, you know, with a do cap, a do rag, and have white, like they got stilo to it. But if you're a white dude and a wife beater, I don't see anything other than crystal meth in your near future.
Nothing like that upon immediately, yeah.
I had a quick question.
Yeah, shoot.
To find one. If you and I switched bodies for a day, right? You were me, you were in me, but you, and I was in you, but you, me.
Right.
What is one fun thing that you would love to fucking do? Like,
oh, one fun thing?
Oh, what would you do in my body? Like,
oh, I would drive to Los Feliz and get drunk and be a drunk driver and know that I could get away with it.
Imagine, there are those guys that get so fucked up and they wake up in prison like, no, what happened? Maybe their best friend borrowed their body for a day.
Yeah, yeah. I'd probably mess with your kids.
I would endure the pain of getting your asshole waxed for, not that I don't know if you have a hairy asshole or not. I do, but like if I went and did that for you, you came home to your body, you're like, oh my God, I'm all waxed up.
This is great.
And then you high five me, and I'm in jail. You visit me in jail because you drunk drove my car into something. And you're like, "Hey, dude, I appreciate the ass waxing." And I'm like, "Well, I'll see you in 6 to 9."
I'm in jail. Oh, that's funny. You know, a recent story that we were talking about is how sports were kind of getting involved with the social justice movement.
Uh-huh.
And we were talking about how, you know, a lot of the sports teams are just saying that they back Black Lives Matter, or they're saying they want accountability for something, but there's no real like actionable items. You ever talk about that?
Well, yeah.
The Baltimore Ravens have laid out a list of demands for social justice. So they did exactly what we were talking about making a list of like, this is an actionable item that we, the Baltimore Ravens, would like to see done on the behalf of social justice. And I thought, okay, that's pretty cool. I mean, a good chunk of the list was broad stuff. Like, we want to see increased equality when it comes to prison sentences. It's like, okay, well, that's kind of a broad thing that, you know, everybody wants, I guess. But when it came down to like the more specific things, I thought that was interesting. They want the arrest and charging of the police officers responsible for Breonna Taylor's killing and the shooting of Jacob Blake. They're demanding that Senator Mitch McConnell bring the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act of 2020 to the Senate floor for a vote. I thought that was very specific. And
that's great.
Appreciate that.
Because they're not asking for a certain result. They just want acknowledgement. And then they want to be able to re-elect based on those results.
Exactly.
Those votes are important, not just for their outcome, but for us knowing who identifies with our ideals and who's stuck in the old ways.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's why a lot of the times you see houses of Congress, whether it be the House or the Senate, refusing to call for a vote on something because they want to be held accountable for their votes. They want to vote on things that they know that they can look good in a re-election.
What else did they demand?
Horseshit. They also asked for the end of qualified immunity, require body cameras, ban chokeholds and no-knock warrants, hold police accountable in court, establish a framework to prohibit racial profiling at a federal, state, and local levels.
Amazing. That last one's not going to happen for sure. And then the Breonna Taylor and Jacob Blake thing, I don't see those happening either, especially with more and more information that comes out. There are people in the police department that are responsible for Breonna Taylor. I don't know that it's the cops that were there that day, even though they're ones that pulled the trigger. The Jacob Blake thing, as more information comes out, he may not have been as much of a non-threat. I don't know if he deserved to be shot, but I don't know that that situation went as smoothly as it could have gone for a cop to pull the trigger. Now, again, I take the stance that I think we need better police on the street. I don't know that defunding them is going to get us better results. I've never spent less and got a better deal. But for sure, there needs to be a mega shift in what the fuck is going on with law enforcement right now. Like huge, you know? And yeah. I love this start. I love what they asked for. I love the results, or not the results, but the like specifications. You know, we're talking about a map again for the second time in the show today, a route to recovery. And yeah. They're pretty fucking specific. And you know what? Like, you might think it's the Baltimore Ravens. I don't know how big a team they are in the NFL. I don't know what their history is. I know they're a fairly new team, but the city of Baltimore in our country is a significant fucking lifeline, dude. It's one of the oldest cities with one of the worst racial problems in the country.
Yeah.
And we all see it. We can see Baltimore. It's not Los Angeles, but it's, you know, definitely Las Vegas. Like it's up there. And for them to make progress and for their team to be coming up and standing up and like who says, you know, saying specific requests, I think that's phenomenal, dude. That's a dope thing.
Yeah, I think it's definitely progress in the sense that, you know, you have these larger organizations that are making movement towards actionable items. Another one that I've been really applauding as of late is LeBron James and his actions towards making these large sports arenas voting centers.
Yeah.
Especially in the sense where you have locations in particular parts of the country that are seeing their voting booths being dwindled down systemically.
Yeah.
And to have like, okay, well, if we can't have a neighborhood voting at this location, we're just going to do one big ass vote at the local sports center. And that is phenomenal because everyone knows where that's at. Everyone knows how to access it. And driving participation towards that, I think that's genius. And that should be hugely, hugely applauded.
My only problem with that is who's going to pay for it. And I think as I thought of the problem, I kind of came with the resolution, which would be make it a write-off. Yeah, for one day, the arena is going to cover the cost. Yeah. They don't pay for the people who work. What are they called? The people who work the voting booths?
Oh, yeah.
They don't pay for that, but you've got to pay electricity. You'll probably have to monitor parking. There's going to be security. So you're going to incur cost.
Right.
But if you legitimately catalog those costs, I'm sure arenas create enough revenue that they would love a pretty good write-off, right? One day's worth of work and you get a pretty good chunk written off the taxes. Because don't forget those arenas some are owned by teams like Kings own the Staples Center, but they're private businesses for profit. And here's a chance for you to earn some of your, you know, expenditures back. Like, that makes sense, right?
Yeah, totally.
And it's weird when I make sense. It makes me uncomfortable.
I think when there's a will, there's a way. And
absolutely.
I think that's kind of the definition of America. There's nothing that we can't do unless we decide not to do it.
But LeBron, goddammit, you got to take back what you said about what's that city in China? Hong Kong.
Oh, I'm not sure what he said in Hong Kong.
Well, was Hong Kong the city with all that? Breaking game back to China? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
A coach came out and said, hey, dude, what's going on back there? The coach for the Dallas Stars said, that shit's not right. But the NBA was setting up camp in China. And China said, hey, we cancel all the NBA contracts. And they're like, well, they're contracts. And they're like, we're communists. And LeBron came out because he had vested interest and was like, hey, man, he didn't know what he was talking about. China's great, blah, blah. People of Hong Kong need to get in line. And it was just like civil rights only matters when they're buying your jersey.
Oh, yeah. No, I totally agree with that as well.
So
I think that's another thing that's just kind of missing from politics as a whole is there's no backbone. Either you believe in it or you don't.
Yep.
And I'm glad that we're making progress. And as always, you know, it may not be the exact progress that we're hoping for, but it's progress no less.
Well, and remember, the way we're set up is changes happen slow because we don't want rash decisions influencing our policy. So these huge things and these big fires that are starting our social movement, the changes will be there for our children and our grandchildren. And I think that's phenomenal. We're seeing that like the way maybe not our parents, but our grandparents saw the 60s. Like we reap the benefits of what happened in the 60s. So in 2040, our kids are going to be even more utopian than we are now. You know, imagine like the time in the 20s to the 40s to the 60s to the 80s to 2000s to 20s. What are the 2040s going to be like? Hopefully it's going to be great if we're all not dead from COVID.
that's very true. And I think that's why I want to become more actively engaged just with the political process and overall. And I know you mentioned looking into the People Party. Have you looked into the People's Party?
I loosely. Like, I looked into it, but I didn't look into it enough to speak publicly. But from what I looked at, I fucking loved it. I just didn't want to, like, I didn't want to say that yet without finding out what's their thing. Do they hate gays? You know, like, what's their thing? I didn't find it yet, and maybe it doesn't exist. But everything I've read is exciting. I'm scared to, you know, to say shit in this thing. Actually, I'll double back to this in our you-know-whats, because I have something that touches on this. But how do you feel about the People's Party? Have you looked into it?
I have looked into it. I read it to a number of articles. I visited their actual
PP.
Yeah, I read they recently had their convention where it was more of an establishment of like, oh, yeah, we're doing this.
Yeah.
They have not decided. I don't believe they decided that the name of the party is going to be the People's Party, but that's just kind of where it's lending itself to. I think they want to be loosely affiliated with the term the People's Party, because there was actually a People's Party back at the turn of the century in the 1900s, 1800s, late 1800s. All right. And it was more of a left-wing populist party.
Okay.
And I think they're trying to do something a little more different this time.
A People's Progressive Movement, the PPM.
Yeah. So I'm like you. I'm like, okay, I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm kind of here for it. I think a lot of people who are here for it are understanding, okay, first things first, Donald Trump's got to go. And then let's figure what the fuck this is going to look like. And I'm kind of okay with that. I'm okay with the fact that I will play the fiddle for now and say, let's get Joe Biden in. But in 2 years, here come those midterms. Everyone's ass is grass if you're not, you know, doing what we need to do. But I think the first fight is with Donald Trump and what that looks like. But I like what I've read so far with the People's Party. A lot of it lines up with what I'm advocating to do. You know, as far as the Green New Deal, corporate benefits, and unions. And
you know, our founding fathers wrote at length about the danger of a two-party system.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like gut-wrenching. It's ill-finding to see the two parties talk about our founding fathers, you know, Nancy Pelosi and Trump equally, to try to act like they have some connection to the founding, to the way this country was supposed to be, but perpetuate this this system. It's fucking gross, dude. And I wish there was a way to initiate legislation. Like, I know in England, I don't know it well enough to describe the system, but there's six parties and they are like funded and equally funded or not to meet on the stage at the same point, and one has to interact with the other. Like, there's a system in place that says, hey, no one's leaving no one behind. We're all stuck on this little fucking island and we're going to figure it out together.
Yeah.
You know, and like, I truly think this country's too fucking big. Like, you either got to have someone like Putin, or half of us has to be like frozen ice like Canada. But other than that, there's not really anything this big. There's only, you know, communism. There's no real representative democracy that's this size. Well, Australia, but
yeah,
that's also
I think there's definitely a valid
dirt
point.
And kangaroos.
I think what needs to occur is the acknowledgement that there are two Americas, two deeply divided Americas. And to make that acknowledgement is not to say like, okay, there's two Americas, so we should become two Americas. No, it's just more of an acknowledgement of like, okay, I understand we're all on, you know, really far distances when it comes to, you know, political points and such. But what ultimately comes together is the fact that we're Americans. And I think no one has really done that, not since Obama. And I think that's why Obama's message resonated so well. And we need that back. Yeah. But I did want to point out, you know, I get a lot of, I'm on the progressive side. I'm a Democrat. I support Democrats, blue, no matter who. I'm sure a lot of people think that way about me. But I wanted to take an opportunity to say, fuck these Democrats. That's right.
Thank you.
Here first. Fuck these Democrats. So
I vote for a Democrat based on you saying that.
Here are my two examples. First, number one, we want to talk about the California Assembly Speaker, who is a Democrat, and he required an in-person vote for members voting on a housing bill. Unfortunately, one of the assembly members, Buffy Wicks, just became a mom.
She's fake. That's a fake name.
She just became fake a mom. And she submitted a request that she cast a vote remotely. And her request was denied, saying that all members had to come in person and vote. So because she felt that this was an important vote to be made, she brought her newborn daughter to the floor to weigh in on the housing bill and place her vote. That's some bullshit.
Yeah.
And the fact that a person can be a total asshole, regardless of what party you are. I'm not going to support you just because
exactly.
You're a Democrat. You're an asshole. So the head, I forget, the speaker of the assembly issued an apology saying, yeah, my bad. I should have had better. No, fuck you and your apology. You're an asshole. You should have known better. Anyone with decent amount of decency knows this person is taking care of their newborn child at home, and they can say yay or nay from fucking home.
I've been saying since I first encountered Skype, whether it was late 90s, early 1000s.
Yeah.
There's no more reason for the representatives to go to the Hill.
Yeah.
There's no more reason for the Senate, for the House, for Congress.
Yeah.
You can work from where you fucking live, from the people, the constituents that vote for you. You don't got to go away from us, because you know what? That see, DC is full of two things, three things: politicians, lobbyists, and black people. And black people are not none of the one of the first two. Like DC, there's nothing there that can't be handled from home. Yep. I think it's gross that like we elect you because you represent us, and then you leave and fucking don't see us.
Yeah.
How could you possibly continue to represent us?
Yeah, I think it could totally flip the other way. I mean that was the whole point of Congress and sending a representative to Congress, is because we couldn't be there. In the same way of placing your votes, same way for the Electoral College, the communication piece just wasn't there 200 years ago. But now that it is, there's some things that we can revise and redo, and this is definitely one of them. So that's my first story. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I had a thing about the Electoral College I wanted to talk to you about.
Oh, so that was my first story on Fuck These Democrats. But the second story I have on Fuck These Democrats is Nancy Pelosi caught red-handed in a salon getting her shit done. And, you know, good for you, Nancy. You're looking good. Now you got a lot of cameras on you, a lot of responsibility. But you know what? The American people don't fucking care. We want to see you looking just as raggedy as we fucking do right now. And the fact that you got caught at a salon without wearing your mask, she had it pulled down.
You slapped science in the face.
She had her mask on her head, but it was not placed on. She wasn't wearing it effectively. And she was the only person in the salon. She said the business was allowing her one person at a time to be served as a customer. And that's what she was taking advantage of. No one's buying that shit. Not for a second.
Not even the business owner.
And
she released the footage.
She said that she was set up and she wouldn't have gone if she knew that she was going to be set up.
No.
And I respect Nancy Pelosi because she's a damn good politician. And she's a fighter, and she has done significant progress on behalf of working people. But when you get caught red-handed like this, just own that shit. Like, yeah, you know what? Yeah, I fucked up. I fucked up.
Yeah, this also
just take that L.
This also doubles back that same. You know what? Later.
Okay.
But about the Electoral College. Oh, sorry. Yeah, yeah. Go ahead. Finish your point, and then. Because I wanted to ask you this specifically.
My finished point is, even though I am what you would call a liberal, progressive, Democrat, fuck these Democrats. Now back to you, Motion.
Yeah, no. Well, on that, anybody who talks to me about you, that like, oh, he's, you know, blue before this or party line. I don't know. He's a progressive. And that's the only option provided at this time.
Yep.
You and I just have, I think we're both progressives. We just have different perspectives on how to use that. But I never have ever like identified you as a Democrat. You know, I think you're just stuck with that decision right now because that's what we're provided, and that's not our fault. Absolutely. Electoral College. I've never really been about getting rid of it, and I know a lot of people are. I think it's very important that it exists because of smaller populist places. And I did not know this. I don't know if you did know this, but this was something that I learned this week. And I was like, ah, cool. I learned, you know, like another piece to the armor. Abraham Lincoln lost the popular vote, but won the Electoral College.
Hmm.
And thank fucking God he did, right?
In that sense, sure.
Now, and he ran, don't let me mix this up. He's a Republican?
He was a Republican, yes.
But freeing slaves was a liberal idea.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, like, where is, not Abraham Lincoln, obviously, dead, but where is that guy now that can, because I thought Obama was him, and you know how I feel about Obama in retrospect.
Yeah, sure.
But where is that fucking guy that ran on one ticket, but used or stole ideals? I don't give a shit. Stole ideals, took ideals, used them to better us as a whole, and quite frankly, was an underdog. You know what I mean? It doesn't bother me when someone loses the popular election. I know right. why we have the Electoral College. It makes sense to me. Right. It'll make less sense as technology progresses.
Right.
But, like, that to me, he's case in point as to why we can never get rid of this.
I understand. I would say who that guy is now. He's out there. He's definitely out there. I don't know. He or she.
Yeah, out there. Correct.
I don't know anything other than the fact the last person I could potentially place on that, and I'll get flack for it, but I'm going to say Clinton.
I think most Democrats, the only way they could win is by appealing some red voters, because that's red voters win the elections. Like, that's it to me. I don't think blue actually wins. I think the right charismatic character comes in and gets those, like, middle, you know, conservatives.
I think it's those who are – I think the dream ticket is someone who is fiscally conservative.
Yeah.
But socially
– socially, exactly.
And – And that's how I identify myself. I definitely want small businesses to flourish. I want people to flourish as well. I don't want large corporations to take advantage of the workers. But there has to be some amount of fiscal responsibility on behalf of the government as well as private enterprise.
I don't know if you saw the Joe Rogan episode, or that's the only place I saw it. So I don't know if Bernie talked about in other venues. But he had a breakdown of how to pay for universal healthcare mm-hmm. by stock market buys and sells. Not by the exchange, but by individual buys and sells. He said you could tax every buy and sell for a penny. So yeah. If you sell 1,000 shares, it doesn't matter if the share was like $400 like Apple or $2 like Sara Lee. It costs you one penny per share to sell it. That penny goes straight to universal healthcare. Done, bang, boom. And he had it all broke down. And the way he described it, you know, his little old Jewish bones body, he wasn't looking up. And he was like breaking down the numbers, and he did it. And I was just like, problem solved. That's one problem solved. I was ready to vote for Bernie.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Democrats didn't let it happen. And that's what's weird to me about that party right now. Like,
yeah,
and that's the clear and concise decision was there.
Yeah, and it was the right decision. But like you said, we don't like swift, immediate change, and it was going to be too disrupting to the establishment of how things are in this country. Totally agree with you. But as far as the Electoral College, you know, I truly believe in one vote, one voice.
A lot of people do. That's not,
And that's how I totally understand democracy and how it should be. Everyone's in the community. Everyone gets one vote. One vote, one voice. Now, to your point, as far as like rural voters, and they have a different list of responsibilities and ways of life and expectations, and those are not necessarily top of mind when you have a more populous population.
Yeah. Well,
like LA and New York.
Wasn't about that, like their concerns or their lifestyles. My point was about contact. The Electoral College was established so that because back then you had to establish contact with the people who were voting for you.
Sure.
That's why I said as technology progresses, it makes less sense. because you can establish contact with 5 million people on a YouTube video.
Oh yeah.
So like when it was set up, I got it. You have to go to Ohio. You have to go to Oregon or wherever the fuck losers hang out. I don't know. But just kidding. But you have to go to places, and that's why the Electoral College was established. Now with technology, you don't have to go to Rhode Island to get their votes. You know, you could speak and hopefully someone identifies with you and trusts you. Now, also to that point, as technology progresses, these deep fakes are out of control. Like the next couple elections, I'm not going to know if I believe who's saying what. Like, it's wild what people are doing with these Instagram videos, you know?
That's true. That's true.
And I had go ahead.
I was going to finish my point of just saying that, you know, Electoral College did serve its purpose in history, and
maybe it's expired.
It's outlived its purpose. And as far as one person, one vote, yes, we'll see a lot of progressive movement. And of course, conservatives don't want to see that, which is why they're in favor of Electoral College. But I'm sorry to break it to you. You're going to get phased out regardless. It's going to happen eventually.
And you know what?
Happen. Like, if we allow the progressives to just do what they want to do, they will split the Democratic Party as it should be, and we will see real progress.
And the documents that established this country were founded, like that this country was founded upon, are breathable, living objects, right? That's how we describe them.
Yep.
Unfortunately, we got two parties putting four hands on the fucking throat, strangling the oxygen from these fucking beings.
Yep.
That won't allow us to, you know, to continue to grow. I had a real quick question.
Oh,
if you don't mind us moving on from this, why do we call them buildings? Shouldn't we just call them built? They're done being built.
That makes sense.
Like that building over there? We're not. It's not building. Why don't we go, hey, that built over there?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just had Andy was trying to fucking get me to climb a ladder on the side. Well, not trying. He was telling me, you're going to climb the side of this building. And I'm like, it's done. I'm going to climb the side that's built. And he was just like, where do you come up with this shit? And I was like, right here on the floor before I climb this fucking ladder to work on this built for you.
Yeah, I've always liked those. Those was like, why do they call it a driveway? And not why do they call this a parkway? Why is they call it a freeway? Or yeah.
Oh, fuck. God damn it. I can't remember his name anymore. I'll come back to it. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Art Linkletter.
Yes. No?
Okay, close. Yeah. That's pretty much all I got. So we can go into, we have about 10 minutes more left. Do you want to go into, let's get deep? We haven't done that in a while.
Yeah, let's get deep.
Okay, let's get way deep.
Uh-oh.
Why?
Talking 6 inches?
Why 6 inches? Why do we believe in electrons and black holes if we can't see them?
All right. Because someone told us to. That's my fastest response. Electrons we can't see now. And to be fair, we did believe in them before we could. Black holes we can see now. And we did believe in them before we could. And why we do that is probably because someone in a lab coat. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, you can prove were the scientific laws through the what's that called, the method, right?
All right, for those who don't remember what the scientific method, you know, the shit that we learned back in grade school, like 99% of us don't remember that shit, but let me refresh your memory. The scientific method is like, okay, you have an hypothesis about how the world works. I think the world works this way.
That's a guess.
So, yeah, okay, you have an educated guess. So then you say, okay, I have developed a test to see if this indeed is the way the world works. You continue this test and you do multiple tests and you acquire the data. You look at the data. You're like, okay, I think if we do this, it'll react one way. If you do that, it'll react another way. And you can predict how the world is going to work according to your test.
Yeah.
And if your prediction does fall into place consistently over and over and over, then you have just proven the world works in a particular way.
And now, someone else has to be able to recreate it, right?
Yeah, someone must be able to recreate it specifically to your standards as you laid forth. And that's a scientific method. And once everyone has agreed, like, oh, yeah, this test works, this is what we're seeing, wonderful. You have just accomplished science. You have scienced successfully. And that's what we've applied to things like electrons, black holes, and other shit that we can't see but know to be true such as the Earth being round.
And because people have scienced in the way you said over 1,000 years, we've been able to extrapolate such great findings from gravity to those black holes, yes, a million miles away.
Yeah, space-time continuum, theory of relativity. Amazing, quantum amazing physics. Things. Quantum physics.
That makes my nose theory. Bleed.
Yeah, it's amazing what you can achieve with the science community. And that's why it's so frustrating for those within the science community or believers of the science community when people start saying stupid shit like the Earth is flat or global warming is man-made. Or not man-made, Jesus Christ. Yeah. That global warming is not man-made.
Yeah. Natural.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. Like, dude, here's the problem. This is the science.
Those scientists got to get paid. Or not even got to get paid, but the science got to get paid for.
Yeah.
And that money's got to come from somewhere, like big tobacco. And that's how you get doctors in commercials saying, I smoke Marlboro.
Yep, yep.
Do you remember totally Beekman's World?
Beekman's World.
It was like an old science show in the mid-90s.
It sounds very familiar, Beekman.
There was like a scientist and a rat, or maybe the scientist was a rat. I can't remember.
I'm interested. I got to watch it now.
But I felt like we were just going through that because there's like an intelligent one and a goofy one. And I was before Beekman's World, I was going to say, do you remember Dexter's Lab? But it wasn't that. Dexter's it was Beekman's Lab. World. It was Beekman's World.
Science. I love it.
Yeah, dude, I love the math. It makes sense. Like, it's simple. It's five rules.
Yeah, 5 steps.
And if you're accurate, anybody else could recreate it.
Yeah, that's science.
Unlike our American elections.
Yeah, about that.
Apparently, we can't figure that shit out.
All right, let's get into these you-know-whats. I know you got a couple.
All right, let's do it. You know what?
What?
Hold on, let me pull it up. All right. Oh. Sorry. This was inspired by what you brought up earlier with Nancy Pelosi. Tucker Carlson, did you see his attack on Nancy Pelosi for not wearing the mask?
I refuse to watch anything Tucker Carlson has to say.
Great. I should have too, but it came up on my YouTube thread. I was watching YouTube news and it somehow got funneled in. And I could appreciate his sense of sarcasm. I could see that what he was saying was in jest.
Okay.
Clearly. And he even quoted videos of her saying Donald Trump slapped science in the face by not wearing a mask. And, I got what he was doing. He was very David Spade.
Okay.
Here's the problem. Dipshits who watch his shit think his word is gospel.
Yeah.
So I think that social media and cameras being everywhere that we go are causing people to be linear.
Yeah.
Okay. The sport of shoving crow down people's throats is so prominent. And quite frankly, it's low hanging fruit. It's easy, right? Like, Kids play easy sports.
Yeah.
That were causing people to be the same retarded asshole yesterday, today.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? We're not acknowledging growth or progress in any way or sense. And if you do grow and you maybe contradict yourself, we're putting you in a shit time capsule and expecting you to be the same loser yesterday that you were, or expecting you to be the same loser today that you were yesterday. And I saw this most prominently with our news stations.
Mm-hmm.
We deserve the right to be wrong, especially as Americans.
Yeah.
You know? Absolutely. And like, just because you caught security footage of someone fucking up, you don't get to one-up them or own them. Because guess what, asshole? While you were telling this speech about Nancy Pelosi not wearing a mask, you weren't wearing one either.
Yep.
And I know you didn't start the camera. I know you didn't run the teleprompter. I know you didn't hand the papers to yourselves. Like, we're all fucking one here, dude. Why can't we allow intrinsic differences? I don't get it.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think that's what's really important is to allow ourselves to make mistakes. And again, while we hold, you know, our elected officials, some of them on such high pedestals, such as Trump and Obama, people make mistakes. People do dumb shit. But they themselves too also need to say, yeah, I fucked up.
yeah, that's true. There you go.
Yeah. And I think Pelosi saying, oh, they set me up. Look, bitch, just say you fucked up. Let's say
you slapped science in the face.
I don't. I wouldn't go that far. She had the
mask. That's what she said about Trump. Oh, she had it on. Sorry, my bad.
She had it on. She wasn't wearing it, you know, over her mouth and her nose.
I didn't know that because the only education I got on it was from Tucker Carlson.
Oh, well, there's your first mistake.
Exactly.
What else you got?
Oh, I got one more. You know what? But this is to end the show.
I got nothing. Go ahead.
All right. You know what?
What?
I'm not ducking. I'm not ducking hungry. I'm not ducking drunk. And I'm not ducking looking forward to ducking some broad tonight. All right, Santa? I'm not fucking ducking.
Where's my phone? I want to know, is ducking even a correct term?
I don't...
Because you have predictive text. And
what do you think, text? I'm a ninja? I'm just always ducking?
Oh, yeah, that ducking. Never mind. I thought like ducking.
What am I doing for life that I got to walk around ducking?
I was thinking quack, quack, duck. Like, that's not even a real word. What the fuck does ducking mean?
Yeah, those are fucking weird animals, too.
Ninja ducking. Okay, got it.
All right. Do the fucking exit thing. That was my big closer. You know, when I was like, I got one more, but it's to end the show. Like, that's it. That's the grand finale, bro.
As always, want to thank you all for joining us here in Pound Town. But before we go, we want to remind you to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to help the show grow. Get in on the conversations by liking our Facebook page and following us on Instagram at Social Nuisance Podcast. And if you really support all that we do and want to become a short sponsor, drop a dollar in our Venmo at Social Nuisance and we'll say pretty much whatever the fuck you want us to say.
Yeah, whatever you want.
Yeah. Well, restrictions apply. And lastly, don't forget there is power in numbers, and together we can be a nuisance towards the betterment of humanity. My name is Imagine, and that's the Main Man Motion. We'll see y'all next week on the Social Nuisance Podcast.
My favorite thing about this show is hearing Daisy like get a chuckle in the background.
Oh, you hear the chuckle?
I'm just like, I'm done. That's it. That's my hour. That's gonna be my special on Comedy Central. Just Daisy in the crowd.
Just put a mic on her.
Just one.
In the back.
Love y'all.